that, we've got company.
Hello.
Trust me, Hera, I'm excited. This is my excited face.
No, this makes me so happy.
I like you. You don't fit in around here either.
All right, if I tag along?
More the merrier.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
Bright suns, everyone. You're listening to The Geeky Bubble. I am your host, Jonah Marie, and with me is the hunter to my omega, my mom, Maria.
Hello. Today we're going to discuss the first three episodes of the second season of The Bad Batch, Spoils of War, Ruins of War, and The Solitary Clone.
That's right. So we decided to divide the second season into manageable chunks. So this episode will focus on the three episodes Ma just mentioned, and the next podcast episode will focus on the next three episodes and so on. So it was more manageable that way. And I know we talked about the first two episodes in a previous episode, but I took down that episode because I wanted us to have a fresh start with our fresh new perspectives, even though I used most of the notes from last year. So with all that said, let's get started. So Mommy, what did you think overall of these first three episodes?
I like them because they're very realistic and they give you the history behind, you know, we know the clones in one side and then we know the clones after the middle. So this is the middle.
Right.
And we get to see how come things ended up the way they were in the other part, you know, first part.
In the original trilogy, you mean?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So, versus the prequel trilogy.
Exactly. Yeah. So we get to see that. We get to see that history, that those moments that why did the clones did this? What happens with the clones after Order 66? How do they deal with it?
Like, right. Yeah, I like that we're getting some of those answers. And yeah, we'll definitely, because I've watched ahead a little bit, not enough for me to know what happens at the very end of the season. I mean, I kind of know what happens at the end of the season because, you know, social media spoiled it for me. It's to be expected, and that's on me.
Yeah.
I don't know how those events happen. So that's the part that I'm looking forward to discovering. But yeah, it's great getting to have some of these questions we've had for years being answered about the clones.
In the Clone Wars, you get to see a view of the clones and they give names to themselves and they try to make themselves individual and separate from the others. You know, a little bit of color of hair here, a tattoo or something there, you know. Then Order 66 comes and you're like, but all these good guys, because you see them as good guys.
Right.
You know, all these good guys, how come they become so, like, the tool of the Empire? And then how do you go from clones to stormtroopers? And what happened to the clones when the stormtroopers came?
Right.
You don't know that. You only know it by what you hear, by what is said in
other medias
and implications, yeah. But you don't get to see it. Here we're seeing at least a little bits here and there of what happened in that in-between moment.
Right. And I like that we're discovering that, like you said. So I love also that we're recording these episodes after they've been released, because I got to dig through the episode guides on StarWars.com and grab a bit more information, like the fact that this water planet that we first see is actually called Ana Bonny, which is a play on the name Anne Bonny, who was a pirate during the golden age of piracy. And I thought, that's so cool. and you don't really hear that in the episode. So that's why I was like, huh, let's take a look at what the episode guides have in terms of additional information. So the planet does have a name, which is great. And it was, you know, a play on the name Anne Bonny.
Bonny.
Yeah.
And you and your pirates.
I know. Oh my God. I love pirate history. Although I'm not as versed as I would like. I just like the the broad strokes that I've gotten from shows like Black Sails. And of course, there's the reality of pirates is not as glamorous or romanticized. I was a pirate for Halloween. So, I just really like that fact. But so these three episodes have a big thing in common, and that's the Separatists. So I thought that was really neat. We saw Hunter and Wrecker using Separatist weapons to protect themselves. Then, the Bad Batch having a mission on Sereno and learning about how there was a Sereno before being known as Separatists. And then there was Crosshair dealing with reprogrammed Separatist forces and dealing with someone who worked with Mina Bonteri, who in the Clone Wars was a prominent figure in the Separatist side of the war. And so, I just thought that was really fascinating how you said earlier that we're focusing on this middle period, this transitional period of the supposed villains of the Clone Wars standing up to the Empire, much like the heroes of the Rebellion in the future, in the original trilogy. But the major difference being that the Separatists wanted to split away from the Republic, while the Rebellion wanted to restore the Republic.
But it is a funny thing to watch, because like you said, they were the villains. They were the, oh my God, they want to destroy them, the Republic. They want to split it and whatnot.
Right.
And now they're sort of the heroes, because they're the seed to the Rebellion, which is what's gonna restore the Republic. And the fact that they keep bringing Dooku and making him like, yeah, he was right.
Well, actually, he was out for his own.
Yeah,
right.
But the ideas,
right?
The ideas and the things that he used to manipulate people.
Right. That's what. Yeah, lured other people into believing. Yes. And actually, we had encountered characters like that before. One that comes to mind is, I don't think you remember the comics all that well, but the Kanan comics, there was a character near there called General Cleave, and he believed in the Separatist ideals, and he wanted to break away from the Republic because the Republic was corrupt in his mind. Yeah. So, there were some people who were in it for the right reasons, and obviously some people like Dooku who were in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And, we go to Sid's place, and they're still working with Sid. And I remember being vocal about the guys moving on from Sid because they've kind of fallen into this routine. And I get it. They have to earn money. They have to do something with their hands. They're guys who don't want to lounge around. they need to do something, essentially. So do you think we'll get to the point where the Bad Batch and Sid go their separate ways?
I think that for the story of the Bad Batch to make sense, yes, it does, because they need to come as a group to a consensus of they can be more than just what they are right now. Right now, they're just surviving. They're just going from one point to the next, trying to evade the Empire. But meanwhile, there's this struggle happening. And they have a set of skills that could be beneficial. We're not saying that they're going to be the end of it all, but they can help. They can help people survive. They can help things happen. And I think that in order for that to take place, they need to be away from Sid. Because staying with Sid is like a bad relationship, You just keep going back and back, but nothing really changes.
Right, it's stagnant right now. They need to. Well, and here's the thing, because I had in writing my notes, I had talked about how Echo wants to do more, and he thinks that they should be contributing to this larger picture that's happening. But Hunter wants to give Omega a better life. And those two things can coexist, but it would involve splitting the team. Echo would have to go his own way because he sees things differently, whereas Hunter has his own motivations, his own goals centered around Omega. And, you know, I don't think we should think less any less of Hunter for wanting to hide and protect Omega. And I was wondering whether you agree whether, you know, whether Hunter should step up to the plate and contribute to this larger fledgling rebellion.
Like you say, it's a larger picture. Hunter right now is more a small picture thing.
Yes.
Like, right now.
What he can control.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is great and all, but sooner or later, you don't have, because whatever control you think you have is just temporary or an illusion. Sooner or later, that is gonna come to blows. You're gonna see that that is not real. That is not true. And I would rather they get now into the let's help and let's do this. And along the way, we can help Omega learn how to survive, learn how to do things, you know,
on her own.
And if she decides to disappear and make her own way, she can do so because she has the skills and she's, you know, trained, rather than let me hide her, let me keep her, you know,
right,
the way that she is. Because in the end, it's just going to hurt her.
I see.
So I do understand completely as a parent, and he is a parent. As a parent, you just want to protect your child. You don't want to see that they are capable of more, that they can be more. You just want them to be safe. And Echo, with his constant nagging about, hey, we need to do more, that there's people suffering, it's not helping him get out of that. I'm hoping that as things progress, as they start losing more and more on these missions, because they're really not gaining anything.
No.
Then he realizes that, yeah, I can keep her protected by showing her the reality of what she is, where she's going to grow up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Because that is a better tool. It's like you understanding the reality of your environment, of your surroundings. Once you understand where you are and how things work and how things are, then you can start making decisions as to what you want to do. Mm. And this is ultimately what, as a parent, you want for your children. You want them to learn how to make decisions and stand on their own and survive.
Yeah, I think that's the correct answer, Mommy. And so we also meet a character named Fee Genoa. I believe that's how you pronounce her last name, who's voiced by Wanda Sykes. What do you think of this new character? I mean, we don't really get to see much of her in this first three episodes. We see a little bit more of her in the next couple of episodes that I got a chance to see in compiling my notes. But what do you think of her?
She's a straight shooter.
Oh, yeah. Do you think so?
Yeah. Well, in terms of she speaks her mind.
Oh, yes.
You know?
True, yes,
yeah. He just says whatever she's thinking. Now, it's difficult for me to say what I think she's going to end up being, because I know Sid says she trusts her, but I don't know. Like, she gives me the vibes of, you know, she's a lone wolf.
I see.
You know, okay. And lone wolves tend to, like, I'm the survivor and I don't care who ends up, you know, dumping them.
Gotcha.
You
gotcha.
Know? So I'm hoping that, because Sid, we know Sid is shrewd.
Right.
So I'm hoping that because Sid says she's a truster.
Right.
That she ends up actually being a person you can trust.
Right.
But I don't know. There's just, it's that
you,
little.
You can't help but have some.
Yeah, nagging.
Doubts.
Yeah, there's not that nagging feeling in the back of my head with a.
Watch out
for her, because.
I know, it reminds me of referencing Pirates of the Caribbean from earlier in our conversation. Pirates betray one another. And I just, you know, you can't help but think of Elizabeth in that movie, in those movies when she goes, bloody pirates. So I don't know what to think of her either. I mean, she clearly has a thing for tech. So I don't know. I can't really tell whether that's something that actually develops within the series because I've seen so much fan art. But I know that fans can take it to like a whole different level where, you know, that didn't exist in the show, but they somehow, you know, manifest it in their their fan creations. Yeah. So I don't really know how far it goes in the show, but yeah, I'm excited to find out.
Ooh, and who is this one?
Like, I know, brown eyes. And so we have Echo telling Hunter, our lives are like this because of Omega. And I remember the first thought last year when we first saw these episodes, and my first thought rewatching it this time around was, be careful what you say around kids, man.
Yes, it is.
And you know, and not just kids, just people in general, because that whole sticks and stones saying is a complete lie. Words hurt.
Yes. They do have impact.
Even though Echo's words were out of context, they do hurt.
Yeah. And that's the thing. When you talk to somebody, only the person that you're talking to knows the whole thing, understands the whole theme of the conversation. People overhearing doesn't necessarily have that context. They only hear the words in the moment. They don't know what brought those words, what those words imply,
right. Just
what those words are, which is one of the reasons parents have to be very careful what they say around their kids.
Yeah, man.
And when they say something, explain it. Pay attention.
I know. I mean, in that little, like, if I were Hunter, I would have gone up to the curtain to check on Omega. Like, hey, did you happen to overhear anything now?
Yeah, it's right there, man.
They only have a curtain dividing that little tiny gunner's seat or whatever that
is. And you're moving Echo to the side, like, what, a feet or two away does not change anything.
It does not. And so, yeah, I just found it humorous because that is, in reality, what happens. Yeah. You think you're out of
earshot.
You're not.
Yeah.
And so Omega and the guys throughout these episodes, they really can't catch a break. It's the whole Murphy's Law thing.
Yeah.
Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. With these guys. Do you think, and I remember asking this last year, do you think this is a repetitive thing for them? Should they actually have something work out for them?
Yes, they need that one.
It's only so much
break.
You can take, right?
Yeah, because it defeats you. Sooner or later, it defeats you. It starts to take away from your convictions.
It starts to chip away.
Yeah. It does. Like, I always joke that I have the worst luck ever. like if things that can go wrong, they will go wrong. And most often than not, it does happen. It's not that it's self-fulfilling. It's just that things happen. And you never know. So you have to, like, build a thick skin around it, but sooner or later you just get tired of things not working out. It's like, come on, give me a freaking break.
And part of me, I mean, obviously the season's been written, done, released, it's there, it's just waiting for us to watch it, so there's nothing obviously we can change or wish that could change. And obviously season 3 is already probably on its way to being coming out in a couple of months. So I just want something good for them, man. Like, this is insane. Every single thing just leads to something worse.
Although it could be the road to the realization that we've been talking about, you know, like, things have to go wrong in order for them to finally choose the right path.
I see. I got that feeling with these first two episodes because all of that was stolen money.
Yeah.
Stolen jewels, stolen everything from worlds across the galaxy plus Serrano itself. So it was sort of like the universe or / force kind of overseeing, like, it doesn't matter what you try to do to get this money, it's not going to happen. I'm not going to let you use it because it's bad.
Yeah. And actually, Omega does make a comment like, isn't that what we're doing?
Yes, like, she when does. She, when yeah, they're she's in very the transfer, observant that way.
Like, somewhat, like, isn't the same thing? Like, okay, we're not those evil villains or whatever because we know we're not. But aren't we doing the same things they did?
And then Echo says something about how it depends on what we do with it, yeah, or something to that effect. And
because Echo has a more Robin Hood approach to things.
Yeah, that's true.
Steal from the rich to give to the poor. So that's his thing. Like, he wants to help. The only way he can help if he has resources.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So in his eyes, yes, it is the same, but at the same time, it's not, because we're not going to do what they did.
Right. So here's hoping something good happens for these guys. And so Hector Elizondo, a.k.a. Wan Chi Tong from the library,
yes,
in the Avatar The Last Airbender episodes.
Yes.
And obviously many other characters, but... He voices Ramar Adel in this episode, Ruins of War. And I remember being excited about this last year. And it's funny because I was also reminded of Pirates of Dark Water yesterday, because we were going through Disney Plus's library and then we came across Gummy Bears, which was one of my favorite cartoons as a kid. And mommy's very, very aware of this because I used to drink Hawaiian Punch juice and pretend to jump
around. Hawaiian Punch was the gummy berry juice. Yeah. She would drink it and start jumping on the sofa from one cushion to the next. Boing, boing.
Yeah, that was me. and then I just happened to think about Pirates of Dark Water. I don't know why that thought came across my mind. But in looking it up, because I wanted to get it on DVD, I realized that Hector Elizondo actually voiced Ayaz in the earlier part of the season. I was like, oh my gosh, look at that. Hector Elizondo is just occupying our minds this weekend.
Yeah, he is a voice.
But there's nothing very deep for me to say. I just wanted to say I love Hector Elizondo. And also as an archivist, which I can say now that I am, because before I was just an assistant. And I was just like, where's the title? Where's the archivist in my title? But now as an archivist, I couldn't help but geek out over the mention of a Serenian archive. And it looks like a giant hard drive, honestly.
Yeah. It's funny because he had it, and the moment he saw Tech, I need to find this because this is my only shot.
Yes,
you know?
He saw the hydro spanner on Tech's belt and, you know, hoped that he could, you know, somehow get it to work.
And when he's down and Omega's down with him, that's what he's looking for. He's desperate looking for it
because
he doesn't want to miss the opportunity of restoring this
piece. Yes. And this also reminds me, as an aside, this also reminds me, people, if you've been using the same external hard drive for the past 10 years, it's time to get a new one. Yeah. Take care of your digital files, please.
It's like an LP.
A
record.
Oh, yeah, you gotta take care of that stuff.
The more you use it, the more it gets worn out.
Yeah, yeah.
And at one point or another, it's not gonna provide you with the same quality of music that. So that's why people are so very. People who collect LPs, they're so. Like, why do you have them and you don't want to play it? Because I don't want them to get bad. If I listen to them, it's in a very specific time, once, that's it.
Yeah, you're right. And I just, like, I saw that and I immediately thought external hard drive. And this guy is trying to salvage his culture, his history. Like, that is more valuable than
anything else than
whatever's in that war chest. This is where the true treasure is. Mm. I just really liked that comparison and him wanting to save this.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we jump to Wrecker and Hunter trying to evade the other troopers. And I love the fact that Wrecker thinks quickly on his feet. You know, it's not often that he has a moment to shine.
Wrecker is like, he's a one-track mind kind of dude. Like, let's just make it go boom.
Yeah.
You know, like, that solves everything.
Yeah.
A boom.
You know what he reminds me of in Star Trek Lower Decks? Shax.
Yes.
The security officer.
Yes.
He was obsessed with releasing the warp drive.
Yes.
and using it as like some sort of explosive. I just thought that was hilarious. And he was so excited when he finally got the chance to do it.
Yeah. And Wrecker is like that. It's like, let's make it boom. Let's, and that's his one track. Like, I call it his one track mind. Like, he goes straight for the boom.
Yeah. It's true. That is his main goal, making things go boom. And then going back to Romar, he ends up giving Ahsoka. He ends up giving Omega a toy. He says, it's a toy. It makes you happy. And believe me, that is worth more than any jewel. And, you know, Omega's a child and should be allowed to be one. So I like that Romar gave her this kaleidoscope. It also reminded me of a quote going back to Pirates of the Caribbean. Captain Jack tells Will, not all treasure is silver and gold.
Yes.
And I really like that quote, and you can apply it to this situation because it's true. Not all treasure is monetary, monetary value. There are more important things being salvaged in this episode, like that archive and this toy, because they're examples of his culture. And it was really great for Omega to walk away from this experience with something that was also given to her, rather than stealing something that had been stolen before.
Yeah.
So that was a nice little touch there at the end of this episode. And then, you know, we get to the point where Omega feels responsible for the situation they're in.
Yeah.
And if anything, she saved them just like they saved her. Because had they stayed with the Empire, their morals would have clashed with the Empire. And they might have been killed for insubordination or for whatever goals the Empire had with them. But because of Omega, they were able to make their own choice. I mean, it was a limited choice. They had limited choices at the time, but it was still a choice they made.
Yes. And then Echo says as much to her when he sits down at the end.
Yeah.
He just tells her, like, I will do it all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gave us the choice. Now I can see where we would have ended up. And because of you, we didn't end there. Again, it's important for children to know.
Yeah. Like, what is it that you're value. Talking about? What is your meaning?
Yeah, and their value.
Yes.
Like they're not just a burden.
Exactly.
They're not just a burden that we carry until who knows when. They have value. They're important. They inform the choices we make. It's important for them to understand that.
Yes, yes. And then Rampart wants Clone Force 99, the Bad Batch, to be left out of their port and ends up shooting Wilco, sadly, to make it happen. And he essentially doesn't want his superiors to find out that they're alive, because otherwise he'll be in trouble for not doing his job right. So, you know, it's fair to say that Crosshair intention... Oh, were you going to say something about Rampart?
Yeah, the fact that I see a parallel between Wilco and Rampart's scene, and then what at some point is going to have to be the choice of Crosshair.
Okay.
Because is he going to... You know, Wilco... He wanted to do things right.
Right.
He wanted to obey orders. He wanted to be that soldier.
Yes.
And then Rampart is the person who the commander.
Yeah.
That is there for him to follow orders, and he's corrupted, and he's doing this
for his
and
own game.
And Wilco says, no, but that's not right, because then I'm not the soldier that I'm supposed to be if I do that.
Exactly.
And what does happen? Rampart kills him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to get to that moment with Crosshair when he realizes, yes, I am a good soldier and soldiers follow orders, but orders from whom?
Yes.
Who am I following orders from? What type of people am I serving? I want him to understand that, to see. I want that moment.
Yeah, I haven't gotten that far, but I do want that moment as well. And I've seen glimpses here and there, but they're all out of context, so I can't wait.
and then we have Cody.
Yes.
Talking to him.
Yes.
And sort of making him think. And he sees Cody. And then he sees later the choice Cody makes.
Yeah.
Even though he obviously admires Cody because he's a good soldier who follows orders. But still, he has his own mind.
Right.
And that's what I want Crosshair to get at. Like, come on, dude. Yes, you can be a good soldier. That doesn't mean you have to follow every freaking order out there.
Yes, to the letter. Yeah, yeah. So one of my questions to you regarding Rampart and what happened with him discovering Bad Batch is still alive, do you think it's fair to say that Crosshair intentionally left that part out about the Bad Batch surviving? And why do you think he kept that information out?
I don't know. That could be that little seed in there that keeps nagging him, because we know something keeps nagging him.
Right.
He keeps thinking.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned to me when we were watching the shows earlier today, that the first time the alarm in his room goes off, he's asleep.
Yes.
The alarm wakes him up.
Yes.
But the second time, he is already awake.
Yes. Yes.
So he's been thinking.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that, which is why I wanted him to keep, you know, thinking.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, my dude. Like, it's slow, but you're going to get there.
You're going to get there. I believe in you. I believe in you. But yeah, I really loved that comparison of him waking up with the alarm and then him waking up prior to the alarm. Yeah, because his mind has been working and thinking about what recently happened and what Cody told him. And yeah, I really loved that detail. And then, you know, you mentioned Commander Cody. And did you notice that throughout the episode, the Solitary Clone episode, did you notice that Cody was using the names of the clones?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was a very, very subtle way of letting us know he's not fully Imperial.
Yeah.
I loved that because yeah. I honestly didn't even think I caught it the first time I watched the episode last year. I caught it this time around.
He's like, yes, Order 66 came and something happened and something, we did something, but we're not any different. We still are the clones. We still are who we were before Order 66.
Yes.
And it's like he keeps analyzing things.
You're talking about Cody?
Cody.
Yeah.
He keeps listening and watching and understanding.
Yeah.
And I love that he gave that to Crosshair.
Yes.
You know, because he needs to do more of that. And I'm pretty sure that he took Crosshair under his, you know, wing,
yeah,
to sort of like instill in him that individuality, that thought of think for yourself.
I didn't think of it that way. I was thinking that Cody wanted him for this mission to see if he was of similar mind, like if he had a similar perspective, and he just happened to get left behind by the Bad Batch by mistake, and maybe if they work together, and if he finds out that Crosshair is sort of on the same wavelength, they can desert the army together. I was thinking that he was getting Crosshair for this mission just to see if he's like, are you with me here?
Yeah,
are you not with
me
here?
And that too. That
but
is,
yeah, I do like the, like, if he is not with me, let me see.
How far can he go? Can I test it? Can I see how far is he willing to go so that then I can do what you thought? Like,
yes.
Let's get out of this together, you know?
Yeah.
And it gives us an idea of what happens to the clones.
Mm.
Because this is Cody. It cannot just be one.
Right.
There are others.
Yeah.
And we can apply what Cody's doing to what others are doing out there. And they're thinking.
Right. And I want to say Cody, and obviously characters like Rex, the ones who have been around the longest will be the first ones to start questioning, because they're the ones who have developed a sense of individuality the most. They're the ones who would start to question what is it that they're doing here. Whereas the more younger clones might not, they just might follow orders because that's all they know. They never really got an opportunity to foster those individual interests and character traits. So yeah, you're right in that this is a great insight into how other clones are thinking. Yeah. And we'll definitely see that in some of the middle episodes of the season. And I remember when I first saw this episode, I was hoping Crosshair did what he did in terms of killing the governor, the rightful governor of Desix. I was hoping he had done that because the Imperial governor was telling Cody, I gave you an order, follow it or face the consequences. So in my mind, I was thinking, I wonder if Crosshair pulled the trigger as a way to protect Cody from facing those consequences. But sadly, that was me wishful thinking, because it really came down to what Crosshair says at the end of the episode, where soldiers, we do what needs to be done.
Which is what that moment of them in front of the wall talking, I think that's the moment Cody decides, nah, he's not.
No, yeah.
But at least I'm gonna tell him what I think he should be doing.
Right.
So he gives Crosshair that thought to think about.
Yeah.
Which is why then we see him already awake before the alarm, because mm-hmm. he's been thinking.
And like the previous two episodes, it's really cool seeing elements of the Separatists being used against the Empire. I also found it interesting that the writers had the clone troopers fighting battle droids instead of the people of Desix. Like, I wonder how that episode would have impacted our perspectives, because we're so used to seeing the clone troopers as the good guys fighting against these, you know, the supposed bad clankers. But what if we actually saw them fighting against people?
And I think that also is one of the things that moves Cody in the end, when he looks out before entering the ship. He looks and he sees the people walking and being not liberated, but occupied.
Yes. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And it's like, this is not a liberation. This is what we fought against before.
Yeah, and we're contributing to it.
And now we're basically being the Separatists.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really fascinating episode. And I love that perspective they give us. Yeah. And then Cody, you know, we referenced this earlier, but Cody says, you know what makes us different from battle droids? We make our own decisions, our own choices, and we have to live with them too. And I know he's referring to the fact that he had killed the governor and the fact that they had occupied this world. But I also wonder whether he's also referring, Cody, whether he's referring to Obi-Wan, because he was the one who ended up betraying him in Order 66.
Yeah.
So in saying that we have our own choices and we have to live with them, he also has to live with the fact that, you know, he was part of this mass murder.
Yep.
Against the Jedi, and he has to live with that.
Yeah, and that, in essence, contributes to what now he's seen. How the people are being oppressed.
Right.
So, you know, before with the Jedi, they had an ideal that we are liberating these people. Now they took the Jedi out, and are we really helping them, or are we oppressing them?
Right. So that's pretty much it. Those are all my notes. Are there any like major things you want to see in the season? What sort of things do you want to see happen?
Well, like I said, I want to see them getting a freaking break. Oh my God.
Come on.
Just one. Something go right.
Something go right. Yeah. Something fun.
Yeah.
And, oh, but then, you know, that's the point where we have to worry, because then we know that after the fun, that's when they're going to hit another all-time low.
Yeah, well, you know, but at least they have that to stand with. You know,
I guess, like, yeah.
And then Crosshair. Crosshair is going to continue being the soldier. a good soldier follows orders. So he's going to continue being a good soldier. But I want him to have those moments of thinking like, okay, yes, I'm a good soldier, but what is it that I'm doing? It's just not following orders.
Right.
That is not the all of it all, you know? There has to be something more.
Yeah. It's funny, I posed this question, but I never actually thought about it for my own answer. So I don't really have anything in mind right now, but I like your answer. So we'll go with that. So that's it. That's it for today's episode. In our next episode, we'll be discussing the episodes Faster, Entombed, and Tribe.
Until next time, may the Force be with you.
Always.